Wanted to take a little different twist tonight on what we talked about. I know everybody at some point in their life feels like the weight of the world, the weight of your life, the problems you got are so heavy you're not going to make it. You know, everybody. And if it isn't happening now, it's going to happen at some point later. And I've got some verses that are good. You might keep these somewhere. And if you know someone who is a child of God that is going through a lot, some of these verses might help them too. The first thing to remember is that you are very important. You know, we are taught to be humble, aren't we? Doesn't the Bible teach us that we're to be humble people? I like to think of my value like an algebra equation. And we know that in an algebra equation, you solve for X, right? X is always the variable. Well, the way my equation works out, X plus G equals G. I equal nothing. My X is a zero, or maybe a negative. But God in us gives us value. God loves us. We are valuable to Him. Look at the first verse I've got listed there on the paper. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." Now, what does that mean? He knows every time a sparrow hits the ground. See, there's absolutely nothing that goes on the planet Earth He does not know about. Now, you'll have scientists tell you that that's impossible. Our greatest computers can't track that much data. That's true, but He's not like the greatest computers wouldn't even make a fingernail on Him. So the people that scoff and say that that couldn't happen, they obviously don't know what they're talking about. It says that in addition to knowing about sparrow, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows." What this verse tells us is we have great value to the Lord. Now, He don't like it when we're sinning. He don't like it when we get away from Him. He don't like it when we do things we shouldn't. But we have great value to Him. And in that, He is watching. He is keeping track of everything that goes on in our life. That just seems impossible. How could He keep track of everybody and all the things that go on? He has something going for Him that we don't know anything about. It's called timelessness. He has no constraint of time. You know, we say, "Oh, I don't have the time for that." Well, God don't have the time. God don't have time either. It's different for Him, though. Time means nothing to God. He's got the ability to look forever at us. It's just eternity is a condition that in which time does not exist. And it does not exist for God. So He's able to look at us. And He cares so much about us. He knows everything that's going on. He knows how many hairs. You know, some of us, it's getting to be an easier job to keep up with how many hairs. But there's something else taking its place that He's watching. He knows everything about us. He doesn't know everything about us because He's a nosy peeping Tom. He knows everything about us because He cares about us. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Now, you know, in the middle of the night, especially if you're by yourself at home one night and you hear this really strange loud sound, it's really hard to follow this verse strong, isn't it? Now, you know, I might say, "Well, you know, I just reach under the bed and pull out that big gun." But I'm probably going to be shaking while I'm pulling out that big gun. You're kind of wondering, what is that sound? It's hard sometimes to fear not, isn't it? Well, it's not just about somebody breaking in our house. Sometimes there's things that will come about us in life that will cause us to have fear. You hear an ambulance and you don't know where one of your kids are. It makes you have a little fear. There's a lot of things that we can have fear about. But He tells us, be strong. I'm with you. No matter what happens, I'm with you. One of the things that is the most fearful is that he won't correct or he won't help with things the way we want him to. He always has an answer. He always has a way to help us. But it's not always the way we want. And that's maybe where some of our fear comes from. Again, we got a couple of more verses here that kind of go along with this one. And I admit, I pulled these verses out of the context in which they were printed. And, you know, the stories that went with them. But they're just as true for us as they were for those people. He means all of this for us too. Be strong and of a good courage. Deuteronomy, if you look here, it's essentially the same thing in Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I watched a movie a while back, and it was a scary movie, and this guy was telling this girl how much he liked her. You know, he really liked her. And he saw a ghost behind her. And he took off running and wasn't interested in that girl in the least. The Lord's not like that. Sometimes when the problem is there, other people will desert us. He will not desert us. And when somebody has something in their life that's really weighing on them hard, he wants to help. And he is there. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Israel has always been called God's people. He said, I'm your God. When they were worshiping idols, when they were doing terrible things, I am your God. Israel was a prayer away from straightening up and being God's people. But they liked that old sin too much. They liked the things they were involved in too much to turn around. But God was always there. You know, God never moved. Israel moved. They moved away from him, but he never moved. The next one says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in love. He will joy over thee with singing. What does heaven do when someone's saved? When someone repents? Heaven rejoices. God is thrilled when we turn away from things we shouldn't be doing. Again, it's hard to imagine him taking the time out from all the people in the world to look at one of us. But he tells us he does, and I believe it. You know, either he's telling me the truth about everything, or I can't trust him on anything, and I have determined to trust him on everything. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So again, we see a promise. I'm with you. I'm with you always, and I will be with you till the end of the world. I will be with you for your life. You know, whenever a really terrible problem comes on us, and it just seems like there's no way out, sometimes he's the last person we think of, and he needs to be the first person we think of. Because he's got the answer. He just waiting on us. He will not force us to do a single thing. Now, he might whip us to where we want to do it, but he will not make us do anything. He waits for us to ask him for help. Now, one of the things about it, he's planned out our help a long ways back. You know, there's a country by the name of the United States that he had allowed things to come together so it could be formed. What has the United States, we know in our lifetime we've seen the United States do really rotten, terrible things. But what's one of the greatest things the United States has done for God's people? You know, we are have been the greatest repository of saved people in the world. Plus, we have helped Israel for years. He lined us up to help Israel. So he thinks about our problems even before we know we have problems. But we need to be in tune with him to ask him for help. says here in Luke 18:27, and he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." We know that. We pray for people who are sick. We pray for people who have terrible illness. And we see things happen sometimes that's just unbelievable. We've had people here pray, ask the church to pray for people they worked with. And this has happened several times, at least two that I know of, which I guess that's not several, a couple, where we've prayed for someone who is really causing trouble for one of our church members. Something bad happens to that person. Now, we're not praying for bad things to happen to people, ever. We're just asking the Lord's will to be done to help us. But the Lord don't like it when people messes with his people. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And again, going along with this, it's sometimes hard to realize exactly what this means when you're in the middle of a problem. But God's telling us, or we are being told about God's character here, that when he's for you, he's got great things in mind for you. I mean, he has things that he can do that will help you. And the next verse kind of gets into one of the things that people get to thinking, I've got a problem. It's so bad, nobody else knows what this is like. I'm all alone. This is my problem, and nobody else would understand. Listen to what it says here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We have problems in our life, but everybody has problems in their life. They may be different. They may be, other people may handle them better because they put their faith in the Lord to help them through it. So we just don't see their problems. But I can promise you, everybody, what's common to man is what Satan throws at us. Satan wants to cause all of us problems. It says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now, personally, I just assume temptation not come at all. I don't want trials and tribulations at all, but they're going to happen to all of us. And the Lord promises us he won't put any of us in the middle of something that we can't handle. Here's the key to that. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. If you get in a real problem, what you're kind of hoping for is that there's a door right here you can just step into. But sometimes the Lord's idea of an escape might be down the hall, up the stairs, out the window, and jump a little ways. He's got a way for us. It's not always the way we think right off. We always want the easy way. If somebody gets pulled over for a DUI or anything, you fill in the blank. That person would want that to just go away. Well, the Lord don't take away the consequences of sin. He will help us find a way to deal with the consequences of sin. He will help us to figure a way if we work with him. If we pray and we want him to help us, he can help us quit the sin and then deal with the consequences that we've laid out for ourselves. He's got a way. He's always got a way. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Let's think about that for a minute. There's several, I've heard different discussions about that. But one of the things, we know that sin is ruining this old body. We're getting old. I've mentioned, mentioned this before. I used to be the youngest person in this church. Can you imagine that? I'm getting to be one of the old guys, or I am one of the old guys. The body ages, sin ages, but what's inside us, God renews. He's got a plan for everything in our life. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The problems that we go through makes us stronger. Nobody wants to hear that when they've got something bad going on in their life. You don't want to hear, oh, it'll make you stronger. Don't ever tell anybody that. Wait till it's happened. Wait till they've got through it and then say, you're stronger for that. But don't tell them while they're in there, because there's so much that people can let affect their mind. We don't want to be adding to the problem. But we always want to mention to them some of these verses and have them read them, how the Lord is waiting and wanting to help them. In Philippians 4:13 it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's the same principle. If God be for us, who can be against us? He has the way to give us the ability to do all things. If we want to build a nice big sanctuary with white walls and no paneling, I guarantee you we can do it. The Lord's got a way for us to do it. One thing, the next thing on the paper that I was thinking about as I was going through this, God, in the form of Jesus, lived and died for us. And we all talk about Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus died for us. And there's no doubt about it. It was a most fantastic thing. Horrible pain for him. But he did something else. He lived for us. 33 and a half years or some time frame like that. Have you thought about what all went through there? Living 33 and a half years a perfect life. You know, it's a good thing I wasn't God, because I would have come back right now. And instead of walking with sandals, I'd have been in a new Corvette. And I'd have taken John, the one I loved. You know, he talks about that quite a bit. In the Corvette with me, because you don't take two people. Then I'd put Mouthy Peter in the bus behind me. And the other guys, they'd be in a bus. And we'd go off doing our thing. That's not when Jesus decided to come. Jesus came at the worst time ever. So when he lived for us, he lived for us through the worst time that you could have come. Little food, zero air conditioning, zero heat. I mean, there's probably some heat around a fire somewhere, but sandals, clothing. The clothing they wore, whew, that would be awful. All kinds of things that he lived through for us. So we always say he died for us, but that living was something else. And I'm sure you've probably thought about this. Perfection, you know, perfection, really, we look at it in the Bible meaning two things. Perfection can mean complete. Perfection also we think of as a way to live without sin. Jesus, we know, lived perfect, but where is the mold, or where is the model for perfection? It's God. See, we talk about how Jesus didn't sin, and we know his body had everything subjected to it that all of us are subjected to. But they are the model of perfection. If God thought, I've mentioned this 100 times, if God thought chocolate pudding was bad, it would be sin. You see what I'm trying to get there through an absurdity is God determines what's perfect and what's not. And he does that because he is perfect. And his mold, the mold that he's made, Jesus in his living lived up to every aspect of it. Now, God, we've talked about all these things here he wants to do for us, how he wants to help us, how he wants to give us strength. He has a plan for us. See, he don't want us to get in much problem to start with. a lot of the problems we get into is because we get away from God and we get to thinking about things we shouldn't, or doing things we shouldn't, or being somebody we shouldn't, not following His plan. But He has a plan for us. He has a plan that is important for us, and it helps Him fulfill the things He wants done here on earth. Now, I told you, I'm an X that equals zero. If I drop dead, somebody else can do my job. God, no problem. God will find somebody else to do what I need to do. So He doesn't have to have me. He doesn't have to have you, but He wants to. And that plan is to let you be all you can be, not just for Him, but for us. Now, He has another plan. It's called blessings. He has a plan to bless us. He wants to bless us with hope. He wants to bless us with protection. He wants to bless us with prosperity. But we need to be following His plan. And the people that we talk to, ourselves, we always need to ask ourselves when we get into a bad scrape or a situation that's bad, am I doing everything I can to follow His plan? Am I following His plan? A lot of times we'll find that we're not. Now, if you're following His plan, still going to be some bad things happen. Bad things just happen. Sometimes your roof's going to leak. Just going to happen. Sometimes big expenses are going to occur. But the Lord's got a way to get you through it. And one of the best things of all that He promised us is that He is going to prepare a place. Is it a mansion? He says there's many mansions there. But He says He's preparing for us a place. So I like to think it's better than a mansion. Prayer brings hope, help, encouragement, love, forgiveness, and direction. Now we might say, well, boy, that's kind of a simple thing to get to that. You can't have a relationship with God without prayer. Impossible. You can be saved, be trying your best to live the best you can. I can tell you right now, if you're not following God's plan in your life, and you're not doing the thing, you know, he's laid it out for us in the Bible. You say, well, the Bible's hard to read. Yeah, He did that on purpose. He wants us to study it out to where we know what He wants. You know, I can read a book all day long. I think I've told you before, when I was a kid, I liked the Hardy Boys. There was 55 books back then. I don't know if there's any new ones, but I read all 55. Some of them a couple of times. And I knew a lot about the Hardy Boys. I kind of knew what they would do. You know, you see what the storyline is, you know what they're going to do. You know, you kind of get used to the story. I love shows that I can't figure out what the people are going to do. But mostly, you watch a show for a little while, you get to watching a TV series, and you can figure out. Don Knotts, you just knew on Andy Griffin, he was going to do something stupid. If there's two ways to do it, one smart, one stupid, he's taking the stupid route every time. The Lord can say that about us sometimes, can't He? Man, I've made it so easy for them. And they do the dumb way every time. But when we pray and we study, it makes knowing what is not the dumb way much easier. It makes a lot of it. And the people need to realize that we talk to, and that if we're trying to help someone and ourselves occasionally, we are important. Not because of us, but because He cares. And that makes us important. I've thought about that that equation. You think, well, in the world are you thinking about algebra? I'm not a zero. If you think about it in God's plan, I'm probably a negative. But He's so strong, He covers up my negative. But He'll cover it up for all of us. Now, when I say cover up the world, that sounds like a bad thing. He covered us with blood to get rid of all that negative. We just keep bringing it back in. And that's pretty much all I had. Why don't we have a song? And if anybody'd like to pray at the altar, you're welcome to.
Page 516.